Greetings and blessings to each of you this morning as we continue our worship service. Thank you for that devotional, Dawson. And as I was thinking about that, the thought entered my mind that probably you weren't finished and you could probably use another half hour. But anyway, I believe that's a very relevant subject and topic that we probably should talk more about, is individualism, something that I think we face a lot. Probably we don't realize how individualistic we, each of us, are ourselves. But it seems to be a movement in our world today. And so I think as a church, as a body, we need to hear about that. And so thank you for sharing that. I'm not going to talk about that subject this morning. But the other day when I found out that there was a little person trying to enter into this world, my thoughts went to life and how, what all life, and my thoughts were everywhere. And so I'm going to try to bring them somewhat together this morning. Hopefully it'll make sense. But as I thought of just life, how does that work? How does all this, well, we know some things. We understand some things of where life comes from. We know it comes from God, but how does that, he breathed the breath of life into that form of dust that he made back in the beginning. What did that look like? How did he do that? What was it that he put within each one of us and each person that has been born, or each conception that has taken place? There's been life. I don't understand all that. I don't know a lot of that. It's sort of mysterious. But God has designed it, and we as Christians, we believe that life comes from God. It doesn't just come and evolve from something else. And it's the way it's been, and so it just keeps going. No, every individual is a special person that God gives life to. And so, thinking of that and the how awesome that is and how great that is, and thinking of now we'll have two little babies in church with Kevin's. We have some that are 1 year old. We have some that are 2 years old. Probably some that are three, but I'm going to quit there because I don't know all the ages. I know there's one here that's seven. He turned seven yesterday. I know that. But then there are all the rest of us that are in between. And so thinking of these little lives that are just beginning life, they don't have a clue what they're going to face or what they're going to do or so on. All of us were there one time, and now today we're here. And we wonder, how do we get here so fast? But we are. So that's a natural physical life that we all experience. But Jesus said there needs to be another life. There needs to be another birth. I should say it that way. So you can turn to John chapter 3, and we're going to read from that portion through verse 21. The Gospel of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. For I have told you earthly if I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Here's a man that's a teacher. He's a Pharisee. He's one of the elite from the Jewish people. And he's coming to Jesus. And there's lots of thought and questions, I guess, as to his motives for coming and how he came and so on. Some believe he came at night because he was afraid to be seen, and maybe that was the case. I have no clue as to why he did what he did. Maybe he came at night because there was always a crowd around Jesus, and he wanted some quality time, and he figured at night there wouldn't be as many people there. Or maybe it was the only chance he had. He was a busy man as well, I suppose. So it doesn't really matter, but I would like to give him a little bit of slack. Some people think that he was scared, or he didn't want people to know that he was a secret follower of Jesus. And maybe so. But I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, and thinking that, you know, he came with a question. It says that he confessed that he said, Rabbi, or master, or teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It tells me something there that he had faith. I believe he believed that this really was the Son of God. But he didn't understand. There was a lot of questions, and so he wanted more information. And I believe that's my thinking of why he came to Jesus this way. And Jesus gave him full attention. I believe Jesus saw this as an opportunity. Here's a person that is seeking. Even though the answer that Jesus gave him probably wasn't what Nicodemus was looking at, or thinking, or wanting to hear, because it obviously he was confused. He didn't understand what Jesus was even talking about. Because Jesus didn't answer his question, really. He just went on. Jesus saw within the heart of Nicodemus there was a need. And he was searching. And Jesus went directly to answering that need. And he just left the rest alone. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, again, Nicodemus is confused. It's like, what do you mean, born again? You know, I'm an old man. I don't know how old he was, but doesn't matter. But you know what? How can I be born again? How does this work? Obviously, it can't work like he was thinking. It can't happen. And Jesus, again, just goes on and explains to him, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So one thing we have to establish here in what Jesus has said, that we must be born again. It doesn't say, he didn't say that it's a good idea, or you should be, or it'd be best if you were, or something, but it's ye must be born again. If you're going to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. There is no other way, and there is no arguing with that. There's no getting around that. And then in verse 5, and then he re-emphasizes that again in verse 7. Marvel not. Don't be surprised that I'm saying unto you again, you must be born again. That's an established fact. Number 2, in verse 5, he talks about, except you be born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, number 2, we have to be born of water and of spirit. I'm not sure I totally understand everything on this, but the thought is that water refers to purification. We know that water cleans, and so on. Water also, it could refer to baptism. John the Baptist was baptizing at this time, the disciples baptized, and so on. And we know that baptism is a very important part of the Christian experience, but it's not the first and ultimate. It's a sign of the new birth, but it comes after the new birth. And so it also could refer, maybe he's referring, and it could all be all of these, to the physical birth, where the baby is in a water sack. I know there's another name for that, but for 9 months within the mother. And so maybe he's talking about that. But we know that water and the Spirit are very similar in what they do. Water cleans. Water refreshes. Yesterday, as we were working, I saw the boys passing out drinks. And it wasn't all water. But water especially refreshes. When you're tired, when you're hot, when you're thirsty, there's nothing like good water. And it also cleans. When you go to wash your hands, you want water. If there's no water, you have a problem. So the Holy Spirit also does that. It represents water. It cleanses. He refreshes us, and he purifies the soul. And so Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't see the kingdom of heaven. Titus 3:5, Paul says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, or rebirth, and renewing, or renewal of the Holy Ghost. And then a long time ago, the prophet Ezekiel quoted in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, he says, a new heart, and this was God actually talking to them, to the children of Israel, but a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And so we see that without the Holy Spirit, we can't be born again or see the kingdom of God if we don't have the Spirit of God living within us. to guide us, to lead us, to direct us, to draw us, and to help us, to empower us in this life. And then again, Nicodemus still didn't get it. And I'm not trying to be too hard on him, because this was all completely different than what Nicodemus had learned. Although in the Old Testament, as I read Ezekiel, he should have had that. He could have read that. Probably didn't understand what that was saying, because it's talking about the future and so on. But he had a lot of questions. And so you and I have the Bible today, and we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we don't understand everything either, do we? We have lots of questions as well. And so in verse 9, he says, How can these things be? How can this be? Really, I don't understand it. So Jesus goes on to tell him, and he gets real plain with him. You're a teacher in Israel, and you don't understand these. It's like, you know, you're the preacher, and you can't even tell the people what the Bible says. How is that? And Jesus says he knows what he's talking about, and so on. Backing up to verse 8, it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So children, have you ever seen a wind? Anybody's ever seen a wind? What's it look like? No, you haven't seen it. I haven't either. Have you heard it? Yeah, you've heard the wind. Yes, and we definitely see the evidence of it sometimes. And Jesus says that's the way it is with those that have the Spirit of God. We don't understand it. We don't know where the Spirit, well, we know where the Spirit comes from God, but we don't know how the Spirit works, and we don't see the Spirit. We say we feel the Spirit. Spiritually speaking, we feel Him. We don't feel Him with our fingers. And so that's a very, Jesus says that's very similar to that. But there again, it's a little bit of a mystery. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't understand it. You won't understand it, and you won't know how that works. But we that have the Holy Spirit know that He's real, because we've experienced Him in our lives, in the things that He has done, and the way that He has led us, and the way that He has helped us. And so we see the effects of the Spirit in other people's lives as well, in the things that they do, in the way they conduct their lives, and so on. We can see the Spirit working within their lives. But we also know that the Holy Spirit, well, let me read this. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. He works as He pleases in His renewal of human hearts. That's what He does. That's the work of the Spirit, is to renew us, to draw us to God, to help us to be more like Jesus Christ, so that we can obey what the Bible tells us to do, the way that we should live, and so on. And that we can bring praise and glory to our Maker, to Jesus Christ, our Redeemer as well. But remember, the Holy Spirit is also a perfect gentleman. He doesn't come in unless He's invited. He doesn't just barge in and say, do this and do that. But He waits to be invited. Revelation says that, talking about Jesus, but He stands at the door and He knocks. He's just waiting for you to open the door, so that He can come in. So the Holy Spirit is as well. He wants to come in. He wants to be a part of your life. But He won't unless you allow Him and invite Him in. The third part we see in verse 15. We must believe in Jesus. We must have faith in God if we're going to see the kingdom of God. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's all what we're all desiring, and looking for. It's what mankind needs, is eternal life. We aren't just here for a period of time and then we pass away and we die and we return to the dust and it's all over. Yeah, our bodies will do that, but our spirits will go on to be with Jesus Christ. So there is eternal life, whether it's with God or in hell. And so we have to believe. Just as the children of Israel, when Moses and the children of Israel were out in the wilderness and the snakes came and they were biting the people and people were dying. And so God told Moses, make a brazen form of a serpent and hang it on a pole. And everybody that looks at that will be healed and will be saved. And so Jesus is saying the same thing. Just as Moses had to do that, lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up to the cross. Again, if we want eternal life and the Holy Spirit draws us, we have to go to the cross. We have to see what happened at the cross. We have to see what Jesus went through on the cross, that he suffered, he died, he gave his life, he shed his blood. There we receive forgiveness. And as we see later on here in the next part, it talks about man being in darkness, man being condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He could have easily, because man was not worthy of him, but it's by the grace of God, as the verse in Titus said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. There is nothing that any of us could do. We were born as these little babies. You know, they look perfect. They look so little. They are so unique. They are so whatever. There's more words I can't think of. But they're little babies. They're little humans. But you know, within them there's this sinful nature that one day will be revealed. And it'll come out. And so one day the Spirit of God is, as Lee talked about to the children last Saturday evening, he talked about you come to the age where you want to ask Jesus into your heart. That's the Holy Spirit coming and inviting you to be a part of it, to be a part of God and be a part of the family. Be a part of the kingdom of God. And so you go to your mommy or your daddy or whoever and say, help me, I want to become a Christian. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But it wasn't because of anything good that we did, but it's because of God's mercy and his grace and his love. For God so loved the world. That's why he did it. Even though it hurt him, just as it hurt Abraham to tell Ishmael that he needs to go out and Hagar, his mother, to go out into the desert, Abraham didn't know if they'd survive or not. Can you imagine as a dad sending your son out, away, you're on your own? I can't. How that must hurt. The Bible says it grieved Abram's heart. How it must have grieved God's heart when he sent Jesus to this earth, knowing what he was going to have to do. But he did it because he loved us. He loved mankind. He was willing to do that. Jesus was willing to come, to leave. He had all the glories. He had everything at his disposal. Disposal, yes. He didn't have to come. Why go through this? Why go through the pain, the agony, the suffering? But he did it. It was the only way for you and I, the only hope, because he loved us. So he didn't come to condemn us, but he came to save us. Let's drop on down to verse 17 through 21. Why do we need to be born again? We know that we must be born again. Jesus said we must be born of water and of the Spirit, and we must believe and have faith in Jesus. So why do we need to be born again? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is a condemnation, that light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God, or they are works of God. So why do we need to be born again? So that we can do the deeds of righteousness and goodness, and truth and light can reflect through us. That the world is a dark place. The world has always been a dark place since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Men have loved darkness rather than light. And it's not always the case, but many times, why do thieves break in and steal when it's dark? Because less people will see them. That's what we as people like. We like to do things that people don't see us. We try to hide, but we cannot hide from God. And Jesus came to give us light, to illuminate the darkness, to drive away the darkness, and to fill our hearts with life and light, so that we can reflect the light of God, and we can bring him glory and honor. So as we go through our lives, and we sometimes wonder what we're here for and what we're good for, if nothing else, and there are a lot of good things, Jonas, even though you think maybe you are limited, and you probably are. As we get older, we are limited in the things we can do, but we are still useful people. God still has things for us to do. If nothing else, then to shine the light. We can do that. It doesn't take much energy. To shine the light of Jesus to a dark world, because the world needs to see Jesus. Do we have a closing song? 406 in the faith and praise. When you find it, you can stand, and then we'll pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful to you again today for your faithfulness, for your love, for your mercy, and for your goodness to us. Thank you that your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, and thank you that you don't give up on us, but you keep trying, and you keep knocking, and you keep drawing. Thank you for the gift of the Spirit that you have given us, the Holy Spirit, to live within us and to empower us to live lives that can reflect your glory and your light to the darkness around us. I pray a blessing on each person that is here today and ask you to go with them and to help them. And God, help them to be reflectors wherever they go this week, and to show the world that the world doesn't need to live in darkness, but there is light because Jesus is light. So thank you again for all that you do for us. May you bless and keep us and help us this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me sing.